today, you might feel lost today. Today was going to be a, it was going to be obviously dedication, a sermon around that. I just think roughly once per year, I like to do this particular sermon. I just want to talk about hope. My title today is A Buffet of Pure Hope. Seven reasons why you can have faith and peace when you think about tomorrow. Because your tomorrow and my tomorrow are different. My tomorrow is fairly simple, but of course I'll be praying an awful lot tomorrow for people who are not looking forward to tomorrow and some of the people that we have shared today. 1 Peter 1:3-8 says this, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you've come, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." So today, I just want to give you some reasons yourself around a theme of hope, why you as God's people, redeemed, forgiven, blessed and loved, have a reason to look forward to tomorrow. You see, hopefully all of us in this room believe that Jesus, God's Son, died so that we can have eternal life. Through repenting, following him and being baptized, we have that eternal life. There is an eternal heaven to gain, a hell to avoid. God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit to use us miraculously. He wants us to draw closer to him and share our faith and display the character of Christ with joy to all we meet. He has the very best life for us in spite of all we face. So that should give us tremendous joy, but sometimes it doesn't, because other things happen in the way and surprises come along. So perhaps some of you, when you try to imagine the future, knowing all this about Christ, some of you might think, yeah, I don't know what's coming my way, but I know that in Christ I've got so many promises. I've got God, I've got the Holy Spirit, everything's going to be fine. Some of you, however, might think, well, actually, for me, it doesn't feel like that, and maybe for some very personal reasons. Seven reasons why you can look forward to tomorrow and have confidence that God will be with you tomorrow. Number one, God can carry all your burdens. Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." God can carry your burdens. Galatians 6:2 says also, "Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ." We're not meant to carry burdens on our own. One of my biggest problems as a minister is that I do quite a lot. I carry burdens, because that's what men do, isn't it? Men, we're okay. Women in general, not all women, it's stereotypical, please forgive me, but tend to be able to share things a lot better. And we'll talk about them, you know, a lot more. But men, on the whole, tend to not be able to share these things, and we carry them ourselves. And we don't want to kind of show weakness. That's what we're all like. And God's challenging me on that. But God wants to carry all of your burdens. Well, as a young Christian once, I went into an evening meeting where I was, and one of the leaders of the church sat next to me and he said, "Look, you don't seem yourself today. What's happened?" And for the first time ever, I shared with him some of the financial struggles we were having at home in the non-Christian home where I lived. And I said, "Look, blah, 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 this. I have to try and fit a kitchen floor. And couldn't afford to buy, and different things like that, and car issues." And he says, "Let us help you." I said, "I don't want to stand at the front and everyone make fun." He says, "That's not going to happen." He says, "We'll help. We'll see what we can do to help." And God used this fellow Christian to help carry my burdens. Can you share your burdens with everybody? Absolutely no way. Of course you can't, because some burdens are too precious. But God leads you to share the right things at the right time. So number one, God can carry all of your burdens. One man challenged another to an all-day wood-chopping contest. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find the other guy had chopped substantially more wood than he had, even though he had more breaks. He says, I don't get it. He says, every time I check, you're taking your rest, you chop more wood than I did. But the man said, you didn't notice that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest. I believe that when you do sit down to rest in God, your axe is just sharpened anyway. Reason number two, the Bible says, actually, you see, the Bible says definitely several things. Don't steal. So if I want to go and rob a bank tomorrow, I know that that's not acceptable. So we're quite cool with that. We're okay with that. But it also says, therefore I tell you, Matthew 6:25, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothing? So the Bible says you don't need to worry about anything. 2 days ago, I took my daughter to an open evening at Mountbatten School. And she felt, something happened to her that actually happened to me when I visited secondary school. She walked in and she said, oh, that person from junior school's going. That person doesn't treat me very well at junior school. I don't want to go. And the rest of the open evening, she walked around sullen, thinking that person A, B, and C would be there, and her time at secondary school would be horrible. Same thing happened to me when I started secondary school in 79, and I went through an open evening, and I remember seeing a particular boy. I thought, oh my gosh, if he's going to be here, you know, even the study, none of it will be good. None of it I need to worry about. So, but I worried about it. And actually, I went to secondary school, and he was a really great guy, totally different. And I said to Ashley, I said, don't let that put you off. Number one, if that particular person does give you a hard time, there are ways of dealing it through the proper channels, but we can pray. And I said, listen, forget that. Just trust in God. Trust that mummy and daddy can help you, and don't worry about it. And she said, do you know what? I feel better now. And she went skipping around the whole place and chatting to other people and went in the science class and the art class and somewhere else. The math class was brilliant because we did this times table thing, and she almost beat me. And I was just sat there, and there's these two kids from Mountbatten School marking my papers in the corner, and I just felt really bad. I didn't do as good as I'd hoped to get. Although I couldn't get a network, so I could have cheated. But anyway, or use a calculator. But you don't need to worry about anything. Number three, God will strengthen you for everything you're facing. Because in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if I've got to do A, B, and C, I don't want to do A, B, and C. And having to do A, B, and C was a massive shock to my family. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that what, and I've thought this so many times that I'm in my job, okay, it's a full-time job, but it's not necessarily different to your full-time job. I mean, some people would say, and I'm quite controversial when I say this, but those of you who've got a full-time job, my job's no more difficult than yours. It's a full-time job. People say, I don't know how you can do all that and do this and visit people and do this and carry the burdens of the church. I said, it's a full-time job, I'm getting paid for it. Yes, God's called me to do it, but it's no different to what you do on a Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. You just have different schedules. You know, you can put your mind to something. If you've got a brain, okay, God's called me to it, God's strengthening me. I know that. But God strengthens me for everything I've got to do. And God can strengthen you for everything you've got to face and everything you've got to do. And those things which you think are going to be really fearful and really horrible, God comes in and says, no, I want to strengthen you to face everything you're facing. Number four, the Bible says God will make all of your problems work out for good. Right? God will make all of your problems work out for good. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I know that we can sometimes use that sometimes when tragedy has happened and horrible things. We could use that in a flippant sort of way. And I don't want to do that because I know that when bad things happen, God does not make bad things happen to you. I don't believe God makes bad things so you can bless other people who've had those bad things. God doesn't wish bad things. But when they have happened, he encourages us to go to him and make those things work out for good. A man walked into a restaurant once and said, I would like to have a table and have your finest steak dinner. And they said, right, there's an issue with this restaurant. We have a particular custom here. There's two pieces of meat steaks, hung up. And before you go in, this is what you've got to do. You've got to jump up as high as you can and reach them and touch them, almost 2 meters high. So if there's anyone athletic in your family, you've got to jump up and reach these men. If you jump up and you can touch them, actually reach them, then we'll give you free food, not only tonight, but for a month. However, if you jump up and attempt to touch them and do not and fall down, you've got to pay for everybody in the restaurant. He says, I'm not going to do it. They said, why? He said, the stakes are too high. Reason number five. God's plans for your future are better than your own. God's plans for your future are better than your own. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God's plans for my future are better than mine. God's plans for your future are better than yours. I continually have this dream in my life. And I don't know where. It's a bizarre dream. And I need to really pray about it. But I'm in this dream and I'm on this road and I'm going through towns and cities that I've been through and towns and cities I've lived in. And also I'm in this church occasionally, and on this church, and there's a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous presence of God. It's almost, I feel like I'm in heaven in it, and it's happening more and more. It's just the absolute presence of God in a dream. Now, I've had people, and I've not seen angels in my life, I've not seen heaven, or none of that, but having a dream where you literally feel as you're in heaven every night is incredible. It's not every night, it's probably about once every 2 or 3 weeks, but I know in there that the atmosphere of heaven is there, and I'm just seeing people that I've known in my life. It's just incredible. I've got no idea why it happens, and I need to get advice from people more spiritual than me. I've chatted to Peter Light about it and other ministers and stuff, and I just think, what's God saying through this? It's an amazing dream. It's like if I was in heaven, it wouldn't be any better. It's just like, wow. But in this dream, I know that God has got something for me in the future, and something for you. Well, so what I'm saying is that no matter what I'm planning in my life, I know that God has got better plans for me. So if I walked out of here today and said that I want to be a footballer or this or that, if I submit that to God, God might say, yeah, that's great. Or he might say, actually, I've got something better for you. God's plans for you are better than your own. The fifth reason we can hope and trust in tomorrow, Jeremiah 29:11, as I said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Reason number six, there's two more. Reason number six, this is good. You have full access to all of the dynamics of the Holy Spirit right now. You, right now, it doesn't matter how good a Christian you think you are, how you think you've messed up, how you think you have knocked some water over underneath the chair at the side, young people. Only joking, that's fine. No matter what's happened in your life, you have full access to all the dynamics of the Holy Spirit right now. Acts 2:38-39 says, Peter said to everybody who's listening, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and all your children, and for all who are far off, for all who God will call. There's a preacher from an African country, I cannot remember what it was, I think it was a Central African country, used to come and preach in this country. He died a while ago. Who's heard of a man called John Raphael? I think he was an Elim guy associated with Elim. Not Elim, but associated with Elim. He came and preached in Guernsey. He's an amazing guy, a big church. He said the first time I'd been on a plane coming to this country, he sat on there and it was some Central African country, and he got on the plane, and he sat there, had a cup of water or something, and people were being served food. And he thought, oh my gosh, that food looks brilliant. And they came around and asked him, he says, no, I'm fine. And he watched people next to him eat food on the plane. Right at the end, the lady who was serving the food said, I'm really confused, sir, because right from when we took off in Africa, everyone was being served food and you didn't have any. And he said, and they said, why? He said, well, I've not got enough money with you. I can't afford it. And he said, it's free. You paid for it in the ticket. It's totally free. All the food was free. And so to us today, God paid for you on the cross and you have all the access to the whole dynamics of the Holy Spirit. The whole dynamics of the Holy Spirit right now. You don't have to be anything different. You don't have to do anything different. You've not got to help 10 infirm people across the road to win some brownie points with God. That when Jesus died on the cross, he made you completely and totally acceptable. And the Father loves you as much as he loves Jesus. I see that in Scripture. And finally, Reason seven. For a Christian, for somebody who knows Jesus, for somebody who has accepted Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior and has been baptized and following him, eternity for a Christian is worth looking forward to. Revelation 21, 3 and 4, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is among the people. He will dwell with them, they'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the order of things has passed away. So the number seven, quite simply, that every part of the road ahead for you, according to the Bible, may be different to you'd imagined. Prayers may be answered in a different way, but we don't need to have a lack of peace about the fact that God is there on every stage, 1 mile ahead, 10 miles ahead, 100 miles ahead. God is there. And at the end of it, the eternity for a Christian is absolutely brilliant. Proverbs 3, 1 to 8, my son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments for the length of days and years, my son and my daughter, and life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on your tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So very simply, to finish up in 5 minutes, and then we're going to take communion together. I just want to sum this up. I feel today, because I know and I'm the pastor of the church, we've shared some pastoral concerns today, but the others that are private, I'm liaising with those families as well. There's a lot of people who have got stuff at the moment thinking, do you know what? This is hard. But I want to remind them, and they all believe that and know that, but I just want to say, you're going to give this buffet of pure hope, to say simply this, that there's seven reasons, I believe, and there's probably millions more in the Bible, why you, doesn't matter who you are, you know, if you're facing this, facing that, facing problems at work, family, or going to hospital, or going to Tenerife, or going anywhere, that ahead on the road, God can promise you, number one, that he can carry all your burdens. Number two, you do not need to worry about anything. Number three, God will strengthen you for everything you're facing. Number four, God will make all your problems work out for good. Number five, God's plans for your future are better than your own, much better. Number six, you have full access to all the dynamics of the Holy Spirit right now. And finally, number seven, eternity for a Christian is worth looking forward to. I believe that God will strengthen us for everything, absolutely everything. God is dynamic and God's great. I think the answer, without a shadow of a doubt, always is in terms of the future, just trusting God and saying, do you know what, it's in your hands. He will never look at you and say, whatever, I can't talk to the hand, I don't know what to do here. You know, he's always there in some way. And I've prayed prayers in the past and wished and hoped that God would do A, B and C, and he's done X, Y and Z instead. And everything that happens to us, he knows about it in advance. But I want to remind you of the fact that he's there. He's there tomorrow. You know, Pete Light texted me before the service is on and saying, praying that you all have a great service today. He says, really, sock it to him, my friend. I thought, brilliant. I thought, if I was facing what he was facing tomorrow, I would be in ribbons by now. But that's good. That's a man who's secure in God and literally probably been praying for this morning. But I want to say, there's something about the Christian life. There was once a time in my life where I was in a secure place, really nice, and I was sat there and I was really comfortable. And I thought, you know what, I don't want to move from this place, but I had to, because that place was the womb. I had to get born. There's always the next step. There's always the next step, and there's always the next step. So I want to leave that with you today. We're going to move into communion. Could the musicians come back? And as the musicians come back right now, I just want to say something right now. I want to say to every person here that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then of course these things apply to you. But if your life were to end, as it could do for any of us today or tomorrow or in 10 years' time or whatever, do you know for sure that you would pass into the presence of God? You know, Jesus in the Bible says, I preached this, I did a funeral for somebody, or took part in a funeral in Winterslow on Friday. It was a great privilege to be asked by this family. And I was given certain scriptures, and one scripture I mentioned, one of my favorites, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, I actually got full of diversion to Winterslow and got lost somewhere. But when I put my sat-nav on it, it took me there. Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ is your sat-nav. He died on the cross. If you do not know him perfectly, you're in dangerous water. However, if you go to him with whatever has happened in your life, give him all your baggage, come just as you are, he will give you the biggest hug inside and make you his own. He's died for you.